Dear friends and brothers and sisters, it's not often that I've counted standing in this pulpit such a privilege as today. As our brother Dube said, please bear with him also if he's emotional. And I would like to ask the same. I wanted to speak today about the mystery of the one talent. The mystery of the one talent. Because it's a mystery that very few people know. Or know the answer to. When I think of Johan, and as I thought of Johan, terwyl ek aan Johan se begrafnis gedink het, het twee tekste by my opgekom. Two texts came to my mind. The one is something that I think all of us who came from Potchefstroom knew, especially Johan, whose father used to work at the university, used to be a lecturer. And it is Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see the light. This used to be the slogan of the old Potch University. In u lig. It's the second half. The first half. In your light. And as a boy, I'd never understood it. And I didn't really understand the spiritual depth of it. And I did not, as a young boy, in primary school, even realize it came from the Bible. When I got converted and I met with the Lord, suddenly it got meaning to me. I went to look for it, and it was like a treasure chest that I opened. It was this psalm. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light do we see the light? Friends, there are different kinds of light in a person's life. The first time of light is at our conversion. When God shines His light on our lives and we see our sins, we cannot see the light. We cannot see that we are lost. We cannot see that our sins will take us to hell unless God shines through His Holy Spirit His light into our souls. And then suddenly, as we see our sins, we see the light. Amazing. When you see your evil and your darkness, you see the light. If it is in God's light, if it's in the human light, in the human mind, we read that human remorse leads to death. Earthly, worldly remorse leads to death. If I see any of my evil without the Holy Spirit, I become morbid, depressed, and I want to kill myself because I'm hopeless, I'm useless. But if I see it in God's light, it convicts me in a way that brings me life. And it convicts me in a way that brings me life because it also shows me the solution to my sins. What a revelation. What a revelation when you discover how damned and doomed you actually are as a human being, and you realize there is a solution. Christ has paid the price. I can receive forgiveness for my sins. I can be healed from my sins. What a revelation. I know of one man when he was struck about his own evil, how he started getting things ready to hang himself. And as he climbed on a chair, he had thrown a rope over a beam. As he climbed on a chair to put the rope around his neck and jump down and hang himself, he saw, as in a film, Christ hanging on the cross for his sins. And he says, instead of the heartbrokenness, the joy filled his heart and the thankfulness that Christ had died for his sins. This is one of the texts that came to my mind when I thought of Johann, because I knew of the time when he saw his sins, he got convicted, and then he was able to come to Christ and find the solution to his sins and received forgiveness to his sins. But there's another verse that comes to my mind when I think of his life. And friends, I'm going to speak a little bit about the hard side of life, and the hard side of what Johann experienced, not to make us morbid and depressed, but to make us realize how great the battle was that this man had to fight. And the greater the battle, the more glorious the victory. And the second verse, the verse that reminds me so much of Johann, is Luke chapter 21, verse 19. It's also a verse that is not well known and not often preached about. It's words from the Lord Jesus. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. The King James Version says, Deur volharding, Afrikaans, deur volharding moet julle julle lewe in besit kry. The King James Version, by your endurance you will gain your lives. Another translation, in your patience possess ye your souls. And the Amplified Version says, by your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. This stands to me as the sign of Johann's life. After God showed him his sins, and his sins were forgiven, he had to the challenge, and it's not a secret that he was sick, and we all could see he was sick and he was weak, and his weakness increased with the years as he grew older. But I think this text speaks about sanctification. There is the principle of forgiveness of sins in the Bible, but after we've received forgiveness of sins, there is a way of sanctification. It's another thing if you die like the criminal on the cross immediately after your conversion. But those of us who don't die immediately after our conversion are faced with this challenge that through steadfastness and patient endurance, we will win the true life of our souls. This was Johann's challenge, day after day, to remain steadfast in his faith, to remain patient with the cross God had given him to carry, to be steadfast and patient, and in that way to receive the true life for his soul. He did not sit back after his conversion. He pushed up the mountain. He pushed on for higher grounds, constantly, in the midst of his weakness. And I thought especially to share this part of his life with you, for those of us who are faced with the same kind of challenges. It is those who maybe are faced with just one talent. He didn't just have one talent, but due to his sickness and his weakness, he was unable to live out all the talents, and in practice, he was left with one talent. And I think that Johann showed that example in the parable of the talents to not be a law. You remember the example, the one with five talents got five more talents. The one with two talents got two more talents. The one with one talent went and he buried the talent. That is the example that the Lord set. But the Lord did not say it will always be like that. If you only got one talent, you will bury it. And it was definitely not the case with Johann. He, the way he saw himself at times, was the one with just one talent. And if I must say to you what he often sometimes said, he considered himself as not even having one talent, but just half a talent. But friends, with that half a talent, Johann het gewoeker. And I don't know what's the right English word. He practiced usher, he says the dictionary. I don't know whether that really says the Afrikaans word. But om te woeker means to go wild and just go to extremes to spend your money. He went to extremes to win souls with that little bit that he felt that he had. Yeah, he went through a difficult times. I first shared the rondavel with him in 1980 when both of us were visitors here. And since then, Johann was very meticulous. If the Lord reminded him that he had done something wrong, that he had answered somebody wrong, he was quick to bring it to the Lord and to go and ask for forgiveness and to put things right. He didn't want to go to bed one day with something between him and another person not being in order. Everything had to be right. And often he would come and say, please pray with me because things are not right. And he, even if I wasn't here, he would go to whoever was available, or he would go to the person against whom he had erred or done wrong, and he would apologize. While he was doing this, I don't know why, whether we realized what that man was going through. He said to me at times, Albie, I am so tired. I feel as if I can just go and lie down and die. I'm so tired. The tiredness he carried because of his sickness was incredible. We all saw him eating and saw how as he got weaker, he was unable to hold a spoon. Towards the end, he could not even feed himself. Others had to feed him. Very often we would walk past his bedroom and he had just been sitting on the bed and he flopped back and he was just fast asleep. He was just lying there, not having had the strength, especially lately, not having had the strength to go and bath if there wasn't somebody close by to help him. And from day to day, Johan literally had to pray for strength to that God would help him carry his cross in a patient way. Friends, never use the heaviness of your cross or the fact that your cross is heavy. Never use it as an excuse to not be faithful to the Lord, to not go forward with the Lord, and to go into sin. Johan has proved that that is not necessary, that we do not have to do it. He never used the cross to just sit back in a little bundle, feel sorry for himself, and not do anything. As you heard, he was constantly busy trying to bless people. And most of the times he didn't tell me because he knew I would say to him, Johan, hang on, you know, you've got to still keep money behind for in case something happens. And I think he just thought, okay, I won't tell him. He doesn't understand what's going on in my heart. Today I understand what was going on in his heart because he was blessing people as our brother Dube, as he went. But the light of God was shining through his sickness. And this is what I would like to say to you, dear friends. If God and the light of God is in the life of a person, you cannot quench it, you cannot hide it, no matter what you do. The glory of God will shine through. And many of us are witnesses how the glory of God shone through Johan's life. It's like a ball that you try and push underwater. It can't stay underwater. It will pop up. If the glory of God is in the heart of a person, if he's experienced the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, if he's pressing on the upward way, nothing can hide the life and the glory that is in his heart. It's obvious. His desire to bless other people was, we couldn't suppress it. It was always there. He would attend the Doctors for Life office meetings. And we spoke about technical things sometimes. Court cases against the legalization of Dacha. Court cases against the legalization of prostitution, against the abortion law. And we would have a very technical discussion in the office. And at the end of this discussion, Johan would pop up and he would have a spiritual lesson that is relevant for that discussion on his lips. Immediately, he saw the spiritual side of what was going to happen. And very often he would sit there with bowed head, and you would think, Johan, have you fallen asleep? But when the meeting ends, he pops up, and he's got that remark. And I want to say to the family, the support that you gave him, gave him the strength and made it possible for him to live out the desire of his heart to bless other people. And he did it. He did it freely. So what he did is, he endured with his one talent. Oh friends, may God give mercy to you and me. There's nobody that has an excuse not to use whatever we've got from God to gain more talents from God. And as I listened after he passed away to all the people coming to me, telling me about what he had done to them and for them and said to them, I sometimes wonder, Johan, didn't you have 5 talents actually? And you got 5 talents more. We can so easily, if we look from a human side, from the outside, make a mistake for which we still will stand guilty before God one day. But some people have a conversion, and they have a spectacular conversion. They come out of a terrible life in sin, prostitution, drug addiction, murders, gangsterism, all kinds of things. It's a dramatic conversion. It's a total conversion. They come to Christ. But they forget the mystery of through endurance, you must possess your life. Let me say to you how I understand this. And I understand it in the example of the first man who single-handedly crossed the Atlantic Ocean with a boat. He became so tired at times that and he would get into storms that he would be afraid of the waves washing him off the boat altogether. So what he did is, in times when he was extremely tired, he tied himself to the mast of the ship. He secured himself on the ship. And to me, this is what this verse speaks about. Securing your salvation. Yes, you've been saved. Yes, Christ has forgiven your sins. And as we heard, he was sure about his forgiveness. But he tied himself to the mast of the ship, to Christ. And he continued through endurance until he had crossed the Atlantic Ocean, the final big ocean, into heaven. Oh, what a blessing this man turned out to be. And don't let the devil ever tempt you, friend, to become despondent. Don't let the devil ever tempt you to look back at your old life and long back for your old life. Never look back. Don't let the devil tempt you to go back to the old sins. You've got an example in a man that lived amongst you of somebody who never did that. Never did that. He never looked back to his old life in sin. But the second time of light, where we see things in the light, is strangely enough at the time of death. We associate death as a day of darkness, where we would put on mourning clothes, and we are all sit in mourning. But in a way, the day of death for the child of God is a day of light. Not just for the child of God, for everybody, because suddenly you get a new light on your life. Your highs, the things you've attained to in your life. Suddenly you see them in a different light. Things you used to be so proud of, when death comes, you realize I should have been ashamed of them. When death comes, you realize Listen, it was not really so big. You could have attained wealth in your life. But there's a light that death shines on your life that suddenly shows you that money, all the money that you made in your life is worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. So strange enough, the day of death is again a day of light. But to the child of God, it's a day of light in another way, because we leave this world of darkness and we enter into the eternal light of God's presence in heaven. It's a wonderful day of light. And so when I thought of that, and I thought of how Johann used his talent, I thought by myself and I thought, Johann, you know what? You've actually stolen a prayer that I had for myself. I wanted this prayer to put it up against, I still want to put it up above my bed. It is by Charles Wesley. And when I think of the way Johann died, I saw this prayer of Charles Wesley answered. When Charles Wesley wrote this, he was on his deathbed. He was so weak he could not write anymore. Somebody penned it down for him. And this is what he said. In age and feebleness extreme, who shall a helpless worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. And then the last, oh, could I catch one smile from thee and drop into eternity. One smile from thee, and the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Over few you've been faithful. I will put you in charge of a lot. I thank the Lord that this is the way Johann went. There was not much suffering. He literally dropped into eternity quietly. He was for a week, week and a half, sick, helpless in hospital, very sick and helpless. And he quietly dropped into eternity. And in eternity, there was the smile from his Savior. Let me read it again, friends. Don't forget it. In age of feebleness extreme, who shall a helpless worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch one smile from thee and drop into eternity.